Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia.
Like that.
Kind of gross out there.
Supposed to leave, huh?
What's that?
It's not supposed to continue all day.
Dude, I basically, anybody that watched the Masters yesterday, I think we're getting that weather now. It kind of worked its way up the coast.
Yeah, it's kind of that storm that went through Louisiana and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's all working its way up. I think it's supposed to get windy later, but
they had some hella storms down south.
I bet. How are you, B?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, dude. So we got a lot going on. Dane Brugler from The Athletic is going to join us in just about 20 minutes. He writes arguably the most comprehensive pre-draft. To call it an article is unfair. They call it The Beast at The Athletic because I want to say it's like 250 pages or something with information on damn near every draftable prospect. So obviously we'll talk to Brugler. All anybody ever wants to talk about is a quarterback at number two. But they also have a bunch of other picks, and I think they could clearly use help at tackle, corner, maybe a tight end, maybe a wideout, safety. You need linebacker depth. Like, they need so much edge rusher that, yes, quarterback's obviously the most important thing, but there's a lot more that Adam Peters is hoping to accomplish in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk to Dane at 11. We're going to talk to PFT commenter. Obviously, you know, kind of the two biggest things to happen today, last night, one is an international story and what's going on down in Augusta with the Masters. But the second is the Caps. We had Joe B on yesterday, and he talked about his concerns for the Capitals, how, you know, Buffalo plays them tough and Buffalo has speed. And then I kind of said my concern is we've now seen them play bad games against bad opponents. You saw it against Ottawa at home, saw it against the Coyotes at home last month, and I'd argue you saw it last night. Maybe the Sabres aren't bad like those other teams, but they're not good. They're not in the playoff hunt. And it was 1-0, then it was 2-1, then a final of 4-2. Just seemed to lack energy, and they took a huge hit on their playoff chances with that loss last night. Now, obviously, it's unfair to just pin this on any one loss, especially that they lost six in a row prior to the win Tuesday night in Detroit. But as of this morning, Money Puck had the Caps playoff odds at 19%. And if you look at everybody else now, like, a lot of these teams have clinched. Like, we're getting late enough into the cycle here where teams are clinching. It's not just like projections anymore. It's like, yo, this is a done deal.
Yeah.
And right now,
not looking good.
If the playoffs were today, 6 of 8 have clinched. The top three in the Atlantic and the Lightning have clinched that top wild card spot. The Rangers and Carolina have clinched in the Metro. And it sure looks like the Islanders, who looked kind of dead like a month ago, might be able to jump up and clinch.
Josh gave him a talking, man, a lashing.
That's the Devils.
Oh, that's right, Devils. New Jersey, I forgot.
But the Penguins moved ahead last night. The Caps, if it ended today.
The Penguins were hot, bro. They got hot at the right time. Caps cooled off.
Yeah, but the Islanders are kind of the one nobody saw coming. They've won six in a row. They've almost done the opposite of the Caps.
Yeah.
It looks rough, man. And, you know, they got a game Saturday night, Monday night, Tuesday night.
They still have a chance, though.
They still have a chance, but it's now less than 1-5.
So you say there's a chance.
B, 2 weeks ago, they had a 75, almost 75% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost 75, but you didn't handle business. So you got to take care of business, brother.
Yeah. I mean, certainly. And tomorrow night, it's Tampa coming to town, who's quite good. Maybe they respond against good teams. I don't know. But the last three, Tampa, Boston. Boston has the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. Tampa has already locked up a playoff spot. Maybe you catch them chilling, but hockey's just not that kind of sport. I don't know. We'll wait. We'll watch. But last night was just a disappointing. Did you get to watch any of it?
No.
I watched the third period, and it was.
I was at a wine tasting.
Ooh, where was that?
At Domain that's changing to another company. I forgot the company they're changing to, though. Right there in the Northeast. A lot of very good wines. A lot of Gallo stuff. Lot One? I forgot the company.
One in College Park?
No.
Where you used to park to go to Cole Fieldhouse.
Cab. It was real good.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, Louis Martini.
Okay. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah. You didn't really miss anything, honestly, dude. It was bad from start to finish, pretty much. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, the Wiz now have two games left. The Wiz play tonight and then Sunday afternoon. Caps play, three left. You don't know, but I really hope it's not a playoff-less April in Chinatown. I guess we do know half of it. There will be no playoffs for the Wiz. That much we know.
Well, we knew that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. The thing was designed not to go to the playoffs. So we'll see. Have you watched any of the Masters coverage?
Just a little bit. Not a lot. Because like when I left here yesterday, I had a meeting and then I went to that event. So I didn't have any TVs around. So
yesterday I told everybody about my bets. And Lanfield, you know what we learned this morning is Jeff didn't realize that golfers play two rounds before the cut. Yeah. He was very excited because he thought
two of his guys were going to make the cut.
Two of his guys made the cut. And we said, well, Jeff, they got to play another round, buddy.
He said, oh.
That said, you are looking good. I mean, you got Scheffler.
I still think they're going to make the cut. It's all good. I'm going to win.
Were you surprised to find out that you play two rounds before the cut? Are you just, you're a live golf guy. That's why you're not used to the cut.
Yeah, that's fine, bro. Just know the guys I pick are going to, you know, put me ahead in the pool.
Do you even know what I'm saying when I say you're a live golf guy?
Yes, because it's different formats.
What is the difference?
I believe it's, I don't want to say it because it's going to be wrong. I believe the live one, they play, I don't know, man. I'm not even going to say it.
Do they have a cut on live?
No, they just play throughout the rounds, right?
Three rounds.
Yeah.
54 holes.
Yes.
There you go. We got there. Sort of. So, B and I always say this. Whenever people want to tell you how much they win at sports betting, they're lying to you about how much they lose, right?
100%.
Like Floyd Mayweather loves to post his stacks of cash on the big gambling wins he makes, right?
Yeah.
That means there's losses where there's big stacks of cash going the other way.
Uh-huh.
Remember yesterday I said to you guys, hey, if Koepka wins this thing, I'll buy lunch on Monday.
Uh-huh.
We're approaching a situation where I might have to sign my daughters up for free lunch on Monday. Things are not going very well in the old betting account right now.
I don't think that's the truth because when you paid out your stuff to go to the school they go to, they're eating the rest of the year. They get you up front.
we're good through the year.
They say, nah, we're not going to trust some of these dads. They may go lose the money somewhere.
We'll see next fall maybe. But My biggest play of the weekend, and I'm not going to be one of these dudes that just pretends that they win everything. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. My biggest play of the weekend, this was an 8-unit play.
Uh-huh.
Jordan Spieth, top 20.
Looked like you lost that one.
He just logged a 9 on number 15. A 9.
So, in other words, you are now the cooler. It's not Jeff anymore. It's you.
I think
you took Jordan Spieth and he just fell through the damn floor.
I kind of think I blame Spieth.
I'm blaming JP. Nah. Y'all both got that same little hat thing across the front.
A 9. Not a lot of golfers registering quads these days.
Jordan Spieth, back in the day, John Daly. He did like a 12, didn't he? Something like that?
Yeah, well, remember when Phil just hit it when it was rolling back to him? I think that was at Shinnecock.
Yeah, but John did the same thing.
I remember.
Yeah. I think that was double digits that day.
If we have to go through my action right now, Koepka to win doesn't look great. Spieth, top 20, looks quite bad. What's Jocko Neiman doing? I could really use him to bail me out of some trouble. All right, he is right now, I think, he's 2 under. That is helpful.
Yeah.
Well,
you got him to win it?
I got him to win it, and I got him to finish in the top 10.
Okay.
Dustin Johnson? Just a Dustin Johnson top 10, B.
Well, I mean, everyone say he plays so great at the Masters.
Well, he's won it before.
Okay, but what is he now?
Currently,
and how many high schoolers did Scotty pick? I mean, you know, amateurs. I'm calling them high schoolers.
I believe Dustin Johnson is 6 over. So I have.
He's kind of close to Jordan Spieth.
No, Jordan's 7 over.
6 over, 7 over. It's close, right?
Two dudes I bet on through one round of golf are a collective 13 over.
Sound like you after 4 holes.
Yeah, it does.
Or after a round of drinks.
Schauffele's not doing that well. Tiger.
Schauffele.
Did anybody watch besides me? Did you get to watch Tiger at all yesterday?
I told you no.
Did you see highlights or anything?
I didn't even look at highlights last night. I got home and I said, I'm going to sleep.
Bro, he looks somewhere between uncomfortable and kind of miserable. Like, just if you watch his facial expressions as he walks the course.
Yeah, that gum he's chewing with that CBD ain't working. He need to put some THC in that gum.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
It's, I'm telling you, man, he just looks at best uncomfortable. And today, so because of the weather delay yesterday, they then had to finish, well, they started on 14 today, I think.
I don't remember.
So 14, like, 15,
those
16,
people that
17.
Say golfers aren't athletes, you got to understand golf is an athletic sport. You use your legs and your lower body far more than you think. Because the most people that look at golf think it's all about your upper body and your arms. You are pushing off with your legs. You're digging into the ground. You watch some guys when they hit the ball, their feet are off the ground.
Especially Scheffler.
Your feet don't come off the ground just easily. You have to be really exploding to do that. So if you don't have a base in golf to walk and to swing, it's going to mess you up.
Yeah, I mean, even me, my back starts barking after just walking. You know what I mean? And I don't generate anywhere close to the swing speed or the power or anything these guys do. You know, like my swing is terrible, and two, it's like mostly arms compared to what these guys are doing with their full body.
Use those legs to help yourself out, Jay.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I could do. But I don't know. I think Tiger's second round is going to be fascinating, but he had to play 5 this morning, and then they basically get no rest time.
They have like 5-10 minutes. He's already finished the tee off right now.
Oh, wow. He's on the first hole right now.
Yeah.
So where did Tiger finish? Is he even
plus
par?
One.
Plus one?
Yeah.
Dude, I bet he was 1 under yesterday. Like, he played pretty well yesterday, and I just saw this tweet. Lanfield, did you send us that? I just got this something texted to me. You know Todd Lewis, Golf Channel reporter? Todd Lewis just tweeted out, you can tell that Tiger Woods was having back stiffness this morning played the remaining five holes from his first round, two over par for a 73, less than 40 minutes until his second round tee time. Need to get a masseuse over there or something. Yes, Jeff. You seem, you all right?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just like wincing because I know that back pain, dude. And it's like, I just played 18 on a par three course and he feeling like that. I just remembered it. When you said he's having back stiffness, I just had a flashback.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Dude, who knows where
you can
we'll
do
go.
It, Jeff. Put your back into it.
Pause.
I don't want to not get to this, and the way our day will probably go, we'll probably not get to something. Did you see the Ohtani stuff last night?
About the amount of stuff that the guy bet on?
The volume.
19,000 bets, something like that?
Bro, apparently his interpreter lost $40 million.
Yeah, but he bet 100 and something million.
No, he bet over $300 million.
Well, I didn't see that part. I saw where it was 180 something or 160 something, and he had lost 120 something.
Yeah. So I'm reading from Jeff Passan. Two important elements. So there's a criminal complaint against Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. And this is all part of like a legit FBI investigation.
Yeah, but the question I just got to ask, where did Ipe get all that money to bet?
Shohei.
Okay.
But apparently he like, kind of hacked Shohei's banks and stuff.
No, that's the story is.
Sure.
I'm kind of doubting that.
Well, just listen to this. The size of the bets and the debt he allegedly incurred were massive. Losing bets of $183 million, winning bets of more than $142 million, and $40.7 million in losses.
Yeah.
Now, what I find astonishing. Listen to this. His average bet during this period of time was about 13 grand.
Average bet, 13 grand.
He made 19,000 bets in about 3 years.
One guy can't do all that by himself.
About 25 bets a day.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm going to go back to this. When is he working with Shohei? If he bet 19,000 bets and he averaged how many per day?
About 25 a day.
25 a day. Isn't he the person that's with Shohei all the time?
Of 25 bets in a day.
At $19,000?
Right. 25 bets in a day I've probably done on a college football Saturday when I'm just going for it.
I can see you on a college football Saturday.
What are you betting 25 times in June if you're not betting baseball?
That's the question, Jay. You can do that on a Saturday. You're probably not going to do it on Sunday and Monday.
Right.
Or Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday. He did this on an average day.
My favorite part of this, the dollar amounts are so high. All of it is so high.
$19,000, and Shohei knew nothing about all this stuff.
But every once in a while, he'd still just rip a $10 parlay. That's my favorite part about all of it. Dane Brugler from The Athletic joins us next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Getting it going. A little early for the bangers, but here we are. 10:30. Excited to talk NFL draft with Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Every year he puts out, I would say, by far the most comprehensive draft preview that exists. They call it The Beast. You can check it out at The Athletic. Dane, what's up, dude? Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
We appreciate you, man. I you know, I follow you on Twitter. People should. It's at DP Brugler. I think you do a great job of covering the draft without a lot of the, like, nonsense that accompanies the draft.
Yeah.
Let's start with the question everybody here in Washington cares about most anyway, is the number two pick. Where do you think they're going? Where do you think they should go?
In my opinion, Drake May is the second best quarterback in this draft. And so that is direction me personally. I would go 6'4 and a half, 225 pounds. He's a really good athlete. He's one of the best third down scramblers I've evaluated the last 10 years. What he can do with his arm. There are times where things are a little juiced up and he'll miss some throws here and there, but he makes some throws that are just blow you away down the field. Doesn't matter the situation. Intangible wise, off the charts, smart. I'm a big believer in the older brother theory. You know, you grew up with older brothers. You are just a little more competitive. You're a little more, you just got this toughness to you because you played up trying to keep up with those guys. And Drake May had three older brothers that were high level college athletes. And so the family says that Drake's the most competitive in the entire family. So, you know, to me, Drake May is that guy, but I understand how a team could come to the conclusion that Jaden Daniels would be the better pick or the best pick. Cause that's what we're doing with quarterbacks. When you're drafting them, especially this early, you're making a bet. You know, what are the odds that this quarterback's going to hit compared to this quarterback? And with Jaden Daniels, and especially with a defensive-minded head coach, you're thinking through the lens of who don't I want to defend? And with Jaden Daniels, there's just so many different ways he can beat you. And you want a guy that can create explosive plays. Jaden Daniels this year was responsible for 90 plays of 20-plus yards. We don't have the data going back past, you know, 5-6 years, but I have to imagine that is an all-time record. To put it in perspective, Joe Burrow, who had that amazing season for LSU a couple of years ago, had 87 plays of 20-plus yards. Wow. And he did it in 15 games. Jaden Daniels did this in 12 games. So the ability to win with your legs, with your arm, he's such a good downfield thrower on throws of 20-plus yards this year, 67% completion, 22-0 touchdown interception ratio, needs to dial back some of the look how tough I am as a runner. You know, let's preserve your body. You don't have to show how tough you are when you're finishing these runs. Really the biggest concern with me with Jaden Daniels is when the walls start to climb in or close in, he will drop his eyes and look just to run and take off. I want to see more of those second chance, second reaction throws that we see from Caleb, that we see from Drake, where, you know, you're able to reset your eyes, stay behind the line of scrimmage, and work. Your receivers are going to get open. You're able to make those plays happen. You know, he is such a threat with his legs that he will take off and run, and that's great. But in terms of sustained success of the NFL, I want to see more of the second reaction throws. And so that's one area where I want to see him get better at the next level.
Don't you think that this thing, we look at all those different little stats and you can break it down, but ultimately it comes down to the personal preference of the guy that's picking?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and it's never more true than with quarterbacks. And, you know, you can watch all the tape we want. You know, we can study these guys endlessly. But a big part of the puzzle, a big puzzle piece in this whole thing is the interviews and how they come off as people. Because let's be honest, when you draft a quarterback, you're drafting a CEO. You're drafting someone that's the face of the franchise, face of the community. And if you that can play a big part in how you feel about them subconsciously or consciously. So the interview process, then that's something that all of us on the outside, we just don't know, because one player can interview well with one team and maybe not so well with another. That's a big part of this whole equation that is we're kind of on the outside looking in. Some of these interviews might not have gone so well with certain quarterbacks, but maybe gone better with others, you know, who knows? And, you know, if the Commanders did not get the answers they were looking for from a certain player, but they did from another, that can help sway the conversation as well. And I have no doubt that in that room, as they're stacking these quarterbacks, they had a healthy discussion. Mm-hmm. I doubt there was any consensus in terms of, okay, it's definitely this guy. I think that, you know, they had some pretty healthy discussions, and that's good. You want that. in your room. But I think this is a good problem to have if you're the Commanders, that you happen to be picking second in a draft where there are probably four quarterbacks that are going to go in the top six picks. And so, you know, it's better to be having this problem as opposed to picking second in a draft where there's one quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a problem they are welcoming in that franchise.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what I've said, I'm curious if you agree with this, if this was a quarterbackless draft and it was only Jaden Daniels, only Caleb Williams, only Drake May, and the other guys didn't exist, I think all three of those guys are the unquestioned number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of – a lot of Commanders fans are like completely backed into a corner on which guy they want, and I'm like, dude, whoever they're getting, we don't know what's going to happen, but these are elite-level prospects, and you should just be excited about that.
Yeah, and it's always tough to compare to, like, past years. Like, okay, where would these three guys – rank with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, and it's always tough to do that because you have to eliminate what we know of these guys at the NFL level. We have to eliminate what CJ Stroud did last year and Bryce Young, what happened with that situation. So it's always hard to do that, compare them to past classes. But you know, I think you're absolutely right. If Drake May was in last year's class, who knows? Maybe he goes number one. Maybe he's a second quarterback drafted. You know, it's all hypothetical, but it's fair to say that these three quarterbacks are high-level guys that have bright futures.
Does anybody else pop up into that? Like, you had a little, for about a week or so, J.J. McCarthy was popping up that, people really like him. Do you see any chance of him moving ahead, any one of those guys?
It'd be pretty surprising, but I can understand how they would get to that point. I know fans hate to hear win-loss record for quarterbacks, but teams care, and so it's a relevant conversation to have. And with J.J. McCarthy, as a starter in high school, 36-2 with a state championship, as a starter in college, 27-1 with a national championship. And no, he was not asked to be the leading driver of that offense. I mean, he was called upon. Third, fourth down, he consistently made plays. I mean, throw on the Rose Bowl tape against Alabama, what he did late in that game to move the offense down the field, score the winning touchdown or touchdown that sent him to overtime. There's a lot of what he offers that I can understand why you want to make a bet on J.J. McCarthy, both the tools and the athleticism and what he can do as a quarterback, but then also the intangibles. That is something that is going to win over a lot of coaches. When you get him one-on-one in these meeting rooms, you're going to really fall in love with the person. And so I don't think it's going to be hard for a team to draft J.J. McCarthy early. Now, drafting him over a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May, I think that would be tougher. But like we said, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I do think we're going to see these four quarterbacks go in the top six. It's just a matter of which order, and are we going to see some trade action? You know, the Patriots going to stick and pick, or would they be enticed by a big offer from, say, the Vikings or someone else? What do the Giants do at six? Do they wait for a quarterback to maybe fall to them? Do they move up a few spots? Would we see the Raiders be aggressive? Would we see the Broncos be aggressive? So while we have a good feeling about these quarterbacks going early, there's still some question marks about exactly where those landing spots will be and what the order will end up playing out.
Talking with Dane Brugler from The Athletic here on the BetQL guest line. You can give Dane a follow at DP Brugler, BRUGLER. Make sure you check out The Beast, the annual draft guide he puts out, which just has an astonishing amount of information. In an effort to not only talk quarterbacks, Washington also has picks 36 and 40. These are high-value early second-round picks. They got needs at tackle. They got needs at corner. They got a lot of needs. They got a lot of holes. Is there anybody you really like at that top of the second round kind of range?
Well, it's funny because, yeah, those two positions are definite needs with tackle and edge rusher, but they kind of fall off a little bit. And so I'll be interested in, when you look at the Commanders, would they be looking at moving up a little bit, maybe into the back half of round one, to – is there a certain tackle they want to target? And instead of just hoping he falls to them, they go and get their guy or an edge rusher, same type of thing. We're going to see four or five edge rushers go in the first round, but then I think it drops off a little bit. I mean, I like Darius Robinson from Missouri, but at the same time, you know, it's, is he on the same level as Liatu Latu or Chop Robinson or these guys? Probably not. I do think corner will stretch a little bit if they wanted to wait on maybe a corner. There's some really good players in rounds two, rounds three. Andrew Phillips from Kentucky is one of my favorite players in the draft. A really good corner they could get probably somewhere in the second round. But edge rusher and tackle, we're going to see those guys go early. This is a year where you want a first-round pick. You want multiple first-round picks because the premium positions are going to fly off the board. We'll see a lot of quarterbacks. We're going to see a lot of receivers, a lot of tackles, and then some corners and edge rushers mixed in. That's going to make up 90% of the first round. And, you know, there'll be a center. Graham Barton will go in there somewhere. And, you know, Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle, will be in there somewhere. But for the most part, it's going to be those premium positions. And so will the Commanders be okay staying put and saying, you know what, we like Roger Rosengarten from Washington. We'll sit and pick. And, you know, we feel good that he's going to fall to us. Or Patrick Paul from Houston, the left tackle, who, you know, brother already on the roster. That'd be obviously a fun story. Do they like him enough where
and a musician.
We feel good about it? Right. Do they feel comfortable enough with him in the second round where they would draft him? So it's an interesting spot because you're right. It's six picks in the top 100? I mean, They have a lot of different ways they can attack this. They can just stay put and take more bites at the apple and throw as many premium players on this roster as we can, or they can be aggressive. And with a new ownership, a new GM, a new head coach, there's a level of unknown with just how aggressive they're going to be on draft day as they kind of reshape this roster with their vision of this new regime.
Do you think they go as hard or not as hard based off of what they did in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you look at the new updated depth chart and there's a lot of new names, a lot of new players. And you expect that with the regime change, and you have a different scheme coming in, offense, defense. So you want guys that fit what you want to do best. And with the draft, I think we'll see them. I do expect them to be a little bit aggressive. Obviously, quarterback is going to be that number two pick. But then I'm really interested to see what they do with those day two picks, because, you know, like we mentioned, they've got a couple of them. And so 36, 40, 67, 78, and 100. So that's a lot of draft capital where, you know, we can maybe move up a little bit or just be a little creative to make sure we get our tackle. Maybe they drop two tackles. That wouldn't be a surprise. Hmm. Make sure we get that edge rusher, a guy like, because like I said, edge rusher falls off a little bit. But there are some guys on day two that I really like, Adisa Isaac from Penn State. As much as I like Chop Robinson, it was Isaac that led Penn State in sacks and tackles for loss. He was the most consistent member of that defensive line. Austin Booker from Kansas is an up-and-coming player who I think Dan Quinn would really like. So I do think, even though the positions do drop off a little bit, I do think there's talent on day two that'll help make this Commanders roster even better.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. How little sleep do you get in the next 2 weeks?
March is when, because I'm working 18-hour days just to make sure this book gets done. Wow. So now I can take a deep breath and say, it's all out there. We're all done. So now I just get to talk about it, you know, with you guys. And to me, this is a lot of fun. And it'd be even more fun in a couple of weeks when we could talk about, okay, this is what happened, and we can react to, okay, this is what they did. This is how it fits. This is how I see this particular skill set working with this team, this scheme, and all that. So definitely looking forward to the lead up, but then after is a lot of fun as well.
For sure. Maybe we'll circle back with you after the draft. Thank you for making time.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Make sure you check out The Beast. Over 400 scouting reports on that thing in The Athletic. It is a handful.
A lot of damn work.
A lot of information. Don't go anywhere. PFT commenter joins us at 11. Feels so close to you right now. How close, you ask? This close. Caller number 10 to 800-636-1067. You win two tickets to watch the Washington Wizards tonight, Friday, April 12th, when they take on the Chicago Bulls at 7 o'clock. It's Fan Appreciation Night presented by Michelob Ultra. and all fans will take home a free City Edition themed t-shirt. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. Tickets courtesy of the Washington Wizards. I'm going to try to get a t-shirt. Whenever I bring you a t-shirt, you never want it. You want the t-shirt.
Landfill will take it.
I'll see what I can do. I don't know that the giveaways are typically tough. Jeff, what size shirt you claim you're wearing these days?
Extra large.
B? Huh? You believe him?
Oh, I'm looking at him. No, I think this is what he's...
A bag of cheeses ain't going to help.
Like, he's doing like a lot of ladies do. He's buying something because that's what he envisions himself in wearing in a few months.
I feel like here's something that has happened to me, Jeff, and maybe it's happened to you. There was a time where t-shirts were really big and boxy.
Yeah.
And when the t-shirts were big like that, I could wear a medium a lot of the time. But as t-shirts have gotten more like form-fitting and like more like European hipster cut, I'm at least a large and sometimes an XL.
Yeah, bro. My
so, Jeff, if I'm wearing an XL.
One is an XL.
Yeah, but hoodies are different than t-shirts.
That's a big one. But like a regular t-shirt, he probably need that double X.
I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, probably. But
t-shirts have gotten.
But he will wear an X. He'll wear an L. It might be look like a mini shirt.
We've
but,
seen him wear it, and he kind of needs a man's ear.
So you start seeing space in between his pants and his t-shirt. He said, oh, it's not that small.
It's a belly shirt. He wants the ladies to know what he's got working. But caller number 10 right now, you win two tickets to the Wiz tonight against the Bulls. I'm actually doing the Altcast tonight. I think this one will be fun. Tonight, it's me, Jason Smith, and Gravis Vasquez.
All right. That's going to be hilarious.
Well, and the two.
Gravis is fun, I hear.
Yeah, he is, dude. And the two of them played together in New Orleans for a year, maybe longer than a year. Mm. But so they have a relationship. I think it's going to be a fun one. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, Jay, I say what's up.
I will, dude. He's a good guy. And now I know.
You sure you're going to remember? Because you know you forget a lot of stuff.
Jason, if you're listening, you know what? There's a text thread. You want me to just text him real quick?
Just text him, yeah.
Okay.
Because you won't remember.
Jason, B. Mitch says what's up. Boom.
You're amazed how you have to done. Say what you're doing.
Done. Well, you can't say I didn't do it now. I just texted him, Gravis, and Zach that B. Mitch says what's up. Landfill, do you have a message for Gravis or Jason? You want me to relay? Okay. Landfill says he's good. When we return, PFT commenter joins the program. I don't know that we've talked to PFT this close to the draft yet about who he wants. And certainly, we need to talk to PFT commenter about Jason Day's wardrobe at Augusta. Nobody go anywhere.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.